This is Frank. I'm your host. CDM Cyclist is the show. Thanks for joining me once again. My guest tonight, John Zinberg of Bike Religion here in Newport Beach, and particularly in Irvine, is the focus of the show tonight. John and I, we met, a couple of years ago now already. We were both members of the 2009 Newport Beach Bike Safety Task Force, both committed to improving conditions for cyclists in the neighborhood. And of course, John's got a professional resume in cycling. He's a races. He's got his own shop, Bike Religion, of course. And we're going to get into all of that in just a few minutes. But first, let me say thank you to my sponsor. That would be BikeTiresDirect.com. Of course, bike tires, gear, apparel, everything you need to equip your bike safely. Check them out, please. BikeTiresDirect.com. Well, John, he is one of the contributors at BikeNewportBeach.org. It's kind of a meeting place for bicycle advocates here in the community. BikeNewportBeach.org. John has joined us for a couple of our recent meetings as we're getting that off the ground. And we often have our meetings at Starbucks on Balboa Island. And last time we were together, I proposed meeting John for an interview. Of course, he was quick to accept, and he said he'd like to meet in Irvine at his shop. Now, Bike Religion's Irvine shop is a little bit different. It's, John's going to tell you all about it. Now, John, he was a little bit late getting to the shop. I got there. I pedaled all the way. Good little ride, about 9 miles. I got there, and what a cordial little spot it is. He's got staff fixing people's bikes, and they just roll in or walk in sometimes, their flat tires or whatever their problem is, and the staff greets them and gives them a quick repair many times. Well, with this little bit of time I had on my hands, I thought I would start interviewing some of John's customers. Let's listen.
Can I ask you a question? I'm interviewing John. He's the owner. What'd you bring your bike in for?
To repair my flat tire.
Oh, you got a flat tire, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that certainly qualifies.
It's really fine. Now I'm fine. Comfortable. Uh-huh.
The guys recognize you. You've been in here before.
Yes, I came here yesterday. This is my first time I've got the flat tire in 3 weeks. So I'm really happy to find here because I'm a UCI student and it's really close to UCI. Yeah.
How are the prices?
I don't know much about other. I don't know because I don't know about the price of other bike shops. Yeah, but it's pretty well. I'm satisfied with the bike that they fixed me.
What kind of a bike do you have?
Tourist bike? I don't know. This is not a mountain bike, I'm sure.
It looks like a hybrid, they call it. It's a Schwinn.
I couldn't leave even this brand, but I like this.
Great, thank you. Tell me about your bike.
My bike is a mountain bike, and it's a 21-speed bike. I got it from my roommate, and I've had it for about a year.
Tell me your name.
James.
And what brought you in today?
My seat was a little bit loose, and I just wanted to get a little general look over for my bike to make sure everything was in good shape.
So he's taking it for a test ride now. Didn't take long, huh?
No, it was pretty easy.
Have you brought the bike in before?
I've brought it in 2 or 3 times, and each time they handled it really well. Yeah.
What kind of a bike rider are you?
I'm mostly a casual bike rider. I ride from my apartment to work and from my apartment to class, pretty much around the neighborhood.
It's nice and flat, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty good.
And are you a student at UCI?
Yes.
What's your major?
I'm a music major.
It's Claire Trevor School of the Arts.
Yep.
Yeah. A specialty within music?
Trumpet performance.
When I first got involved with the university years ago, I came into the dance department.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Which dance?
Well, I was a retired software entrepreneur. I became a dance photographer.
Oh, okay. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. How many miles a day do you put on the bike, do you think?
I'd say 3 to 4 miles a day.
Oh, complimentary, huh? What do you say to that?
That's that's better than I expected. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. What brings you here today?
I have a flat. My front is flatted, and it's just a pain in the butt to change it myself. I have done it before. I probably could do it, but it would just take me so long. And the last time I did it, I'm pretty sure I pinched it, which is why I'm here again. So I'd rather just have people do it who do it on a regular basis professionally. And I feel like, you know, if they pinch it, they'll probably replace it and do it all over for free. So, yeah, that's why I'm here.
So he's not very mechanically oriented, is he?
I don't know. I was just worried that I'd have to drive him around again if we didn't do this bike thing right. So,
have you been here before?
No, I haven't. This is the first time.
Tell me about your bike.
It's a fixie with a flip-flop hub, and I do have it on the freewheel setting right now. It's an aluminum frame. I'm sure, you know, made in China. But it was a great deal. It has a carbon fork, which I was pretty pumped on, and I got the whole thing brand new for $300, and it has nice saddle, nice seat tube, nice headset and everything. So for $300, I thought it was a great deal.
How would you describe, you know, the kind of riding that you do?
Just commuting for the most part right now. Growing up, my dad is a huge cyclist. So we used to do mountain biking he lives up a canyon. So we'd go up in the trails up in the canyon. We'd also do road biking in the canyon as well as on PCH and, you know, in the flats. I've done a couple of tries. I've done a handful of centuries and stuff, but not in a while. I haven't done anything, you know. First of all, I don't do it competitively. It's just for fun, you know. So, yeah. Right now I'm just using it to commute to and from school and my dorm.
So you're a student here at UC Irvine?
Yep.
Tell me about your major.
I'm a law student, actually.
Oh, this interview is over.
No, that don't give us all that rep. We're good people, especially at this law school. It's this law school has a really good focus. You know, everybody seems to be really either interested in working for the public sector or doing a lot of pro bono, or just, you know, very concerned with raising the standard of ethics in the profession and everything. So I love this the law school here. It's awesome.
And do you two ride together?
I don't really ride. I used to have a bike when I was an undergrad, not here, like in the city. I would kind of ride around like to and from class, but I'm not like a serious cyclist or anything, unfortunately.
Would you tell me your names?
Yeah, I'm Maddie.
I'm Lisa.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Well, and then John arrives and we get down to it.
How would you describe this little edifice here, John? It's cute.
World's smallest bike shop.
I think it might qualify, yeah. Like, for example, it's not large enough to actually put a bicycle inside of it.
Oh, no, we can hang about 3 or 4 bikes in there. I've had about 7 bikes in there. Seriously.
Oh, yeah, you see the hooks on the ceiling.
Stuck them in there.
But it is a modest. That's nice. And so working conditions are pretty favorable. You've got a couple of bike work stands right out here under the awning.
Yeah, the shade is very important in the summer. In the winter, it's nice to have the stands in the sun. It makes it nice. But we have a storage container down in the parking lot nearby. That's where a lot of our stuff is stored. And, you know, we do sell a lot of new bikes. We do a lot of service. So, you know, we're a full-service bike store. It's just, we, you know, small platform.
It's nice. It looks nice. I've seen several people. I've talked to several of your customers as they've come in, and they've got a flat tire. That's probably the what drives them in here, huh?
Oh, definitely. Air is free, of course, but, you know, a lot of the kids or the staff or even the local community, flat tires are a big one because you can't ride your bike without a flat tire. And being the nearest bike store is, you know, we're convenient, so it makes it easy. We do a lot of repairs on flats, and, I could tell you a number, but it's high. And we do it on spot.
Now, how would you compare this to your other locale in Newport Beach? I mean, they're totally different, right?
Yeah, this is smaller. No, this is designed for the college mainly to help them with the commuting, I guess you'd say, because parking's been an issue at the college and it's obviously going to be an ongoing issue. So being part of a plan that keeps people out of cars and on bikes is just a good overall thing because it makes it easier to get around the college, and, you know, parking is expensive. So, you know, being able to facilitate the kids with new bikes and to service their, you know, current bikes and keep them on the road is a big thing for us, and that's a majority of our business. We do deal with the local community where you can drive in and drop your bike off and pick it up the same day. So that appeals to a lot of the people as well that live locally, as I said, because the nearest bike shop's 5-6 miles away. So I mean, the next nearest bike shop.
So these are real commuters here. These are not glamorous recreational riders. They have a purpose to their riding.
Yeah, it is. The purpose is to get from point A to point B. That's probably 90% of our business. And, you know, without the bikes, the kids have to walk or have to drive or catch a bus. You know, that's the big thing. And, you know, I said parking's a problem. So, you know, you can't drive to class, and university's pretty big. So, you know, probably adds another half an hour to their schedule if they have to walk across campus or wait for a bus.
I can imagine just getting from one part of campus to the other if your classes are spread out. How about you, John? You were riding a bike in college too?
No. My previous life sent me to college, so I didn't have time to ride a bike to college. But I've always ridden a bike. I had a paper route as a kid, and then
what paper?
This is in Australia. So it was Australian papers, Sydney Morning Herald and the Daily Mirror. But that was probably my main mode of transportation when I was a kid. So, you know, I grew up on a bike, and, you know, unfortunately I didn't get into cycling until later in life where I, you know, did some racing and stuff, but it was something that I wish I did a lot more when I was younger.
I had a paper route too, the Boston Globe. One thing about having a paper route, when you're a young man, you've always got money in your pocket, right?
Oh, yeah, you got money. It was an early morning one too, so I got used to waking up early or getting woken up by the phone call from the boss wondering where I was. The sound of the old phone ringing is permanently etched into my mind.
And that makes you got to be out there 365 days a year in all kinds of weather too, right?
Well, yeah, it was good because it was a morning one. We had 1 week on, 1 week off. Sometimes we double up weeks if we're filling in for another one, but he realized that he'd just wear people out if he was doing every week. So we did alternate weeks. So yeah, it worked out well. I actually hoped it would rain some mornings because when it rained, he'd go out in his car and deliver the papers, and I'd looked after the news agency. That was the easy part. That's all.
For me, I remember in Massachusetts, if it was 10 degrees or colder, my dad, I could get him up, and he would drive me around the paper route. But he'd squint at me if he got out there and found out it was 11.
Yeah, I sympathize with you because in Sydney it never got as cold as that. Probably the coldest as it was would probably be in the 40s.
But John, shifting gears a little bit, you do a lot of rides. You lead a lot of rides. Is it every day of the week? Are you out there leading a ride?
Well, you know, I'm riding every day of the week, not necessarily leading all the rides, but, you know, there's a core group of us that are, you know, considered, you know, the more experienced riders. So, you know, we tend to help them control the rides, and, you know, part of that is riding safely and not too crazy. Obeying the laws is a big one, so no one gets hurt. So, you know, that's a big part of it. But we do rides specifically from our store on Saturdays and Sundays. That's the main days. And, you know, they're designed for all levels of road biking. You know, we still haven't got a ride for the hybrid person, but, you know, that's something that's going to come along soon. But there's so many bike clubs around Orange County that cater for all types of cycling needs. There's not so much a need to have your own rides, but, you know, to support those other rides in the right ways.
Are the people that gravitate to your rides, are they your customers?
Yeah, a lot of customers and a lot of serious riders. You know, I'm associated with a few teams with serious riders. So, you know, the guys that, you know, do it for fitness and really like it, love riding with the better riders, you know, it challenges them. And then a lot of them are customers that are getting into cycling that, you know, are healthy, but, you know, want an extra challenge, and, you know, they love cycling and want to see, you know, how fast they can go, or, you know, they're thinking of doing some competitive racing on the weekend. So it's a good stepping stone for them.
And you are. You're sponsoring a couple of rides this fall, aren't you, John?
Yeah, we help out with a few rides. The next one coming up would be the OC Grand Fondo. A friend of mine runs that event, and it was the first year last year, and it was very successful. He had to limit the number of people at 1,000, which was good. Because not good that he had to limit it, but good the fact that so many people took part. So this year he's got expecting, you know, he's hoping to get 1,500 to 2,000. It's going to be better organized, a lot more volunteers, and he's altered the route just a little bit to make it a little bit more friendly to the bicyclist. And, you know, there's a few options. You could do, you know, a 30, 60 or 100 mile. It's in Orange County, so that's October 8th, I believe. And
I'm signed up for it.
Excellent. Excellent. And Bianchi, which is a brand we carry, is one of the main sponsors. So, you know, last year we didn't have many, you know, sponsors. This year we've actually attracted a few good sponsors, which, you know, help support the ride to have them on board. So that's obviously a good thing. And there'll be a lot of good giveaways and prizes for some King of the Mountain, what do you call it, competitions during the ride.
I'll have links in the show notes to the OC Grand Fondo. So come to the website, cdmcyclist.com, for all the details. John, you and I met. We were both on the Newport Beach Bike Safety Task Force. It started in 2009. It was just kind of a short-term focus on bike safety. What attracted you to want to join up and participate?
Well, I live in the Newport area, and my business is in the Newport area. I ride a bike, and seeing that there was nothing really formal, or there was no city policy as far as a business, not a business plan, but a bicycle plan in place, it was, you know, it was my goal to become involved in that to get more people on bikes and make biking safer in Newport and, you know, also the surrounding communities.
What are some of the bike safety issues for Newport Beach? There's many, right?
Oh, yeah, there's many. You know, it's pretty much the same with a lot of cities. You know, it's not groundbreaking news or something that's new, but, you know, you look at cities that have done things that Newport are trying to do. You know, it's all possible. You know, Portland is a big place that I'm a fan of, and, you know, the way they've incorporated cycling into the city is amazing. And, you know, LA's going through those steps at the moment, you know, and LA's way bigger than Newport. Long Beach is doing it. They're bigger than Newport. You know, they're all doing it. It's just, I think the hard thing is changing the attitude of drivers. You know, bikes, you know, are entitled to go most places cars are. It's just having motorists aware that having a minor crash in a car is inconsequential. Whereas if you have a minor crash with a bike, it can be fatal. And, you know, changing that attitude with the car drivers is something that's, you know, important, because it's like pedestrians and cars. They don't mix, you know, bikes and cars. When they have an accident, you know, the bike's going to come off worse. So, you know, it's just got to make bicyclists aware. Most of them are aware of, you know, the potential risks of riding. It's just making the car drivers, you know, aware of that as well, because, you know, they have responsibility as well. So, you know, it's just a change of attitude, I think. Like any, as I said, most other cities have it. And then making bicycling, you know, what do you call it, available to most of the people that normally wouldn't ride a bike. You know, most people that live in Orange County, I don't know what the exact number is, but most of them would live less than 10 miles from where they work, but they need to drive the car every day. You know, that's a shame. Not
especially with our climate.
Well, you know, it rains, what, a couple of days a year?
Yeah, keep me honest.
And it's a shame because, you know, apart from their health and cost savings, and, you know, it just makes sense to maybe ride a bike. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, we don't have shower facilities, or we don't have bike facilities, or I don't know how to get there. You know, all those things are, as I said, other cities have done it before us, you know. And if you have an employer that you know, has most of their workers ride to work on their bike, one, they're all going to be healthy. You know, I'm sure he could work out an incentive for him, because there are a lot of programs available. Putting in a shower and maybe a bike facility where the staff can store their bike, you know, that's a pretty good investment, I think, in the long term. So
happier employees.
Happier employees, exactly. But, you know, it's a change of culture. Everyone's used to driving the cars. But, you know, I think it's changing slowly. You know, people realize you don't need to drive your car everywhere. And, you know, as I said, it's not groundbreaking. You go to Europe, you go to other cities in America, it's, you know, people have been doing it for a long time. It's just people get into the habit of driving their cars everywhere.
Now, John, you've joined us a couple of times. We're co-collaborators, I guess, with BikeNewportBeach.org, kind of continuing this bicycle advocacy. We've had a couple of meetings down on Balboa Island, right in front of Starbucks. It's a great spot to watch. Traffic slow, a lot of pedestrians, great place to bike. Now, the last time we were there, just a little over a week ago, you had to take a call, and at the end of the call, it was a long one, you said something like, you just sold a $10,000 bike. You sell bikes that expensive, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we sell. At a Newport store, we have bikes ranging from, you know, $1,000 to $15,000. You know, so it's a big investment that people do make in their cycling. You know, it's not just commuting, it's also a hobby, and, you know, it's a racing hobby sometimes. So, you know, there's some really nice stuff out there, and it doesn't get you a motor either.
And people don't start with a bike like that, though, huh?
Generally, no. They'll usually get into road cycling anywhere under $3,000 by the time they've got their shoes and pedals and clothes and spare tire and tube and pump and helmet. So, you know, it is a good investment, but most of them start, you know, under $3,000. It's a good way to see if they're going to like it and keep it going.
I've got a couple of teenage boys at home, and they love cars, and every time they want to talk to me about buying a new car, I tell them that just the sales tax that I pay for a new car, I could go out and buy a couple of dream bikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. Definitely.
Exactly. Now, how about you? You do sell, John, the road bikes, serious recreational cyclists, right? How about the, what would you call it, European more lifestyle, a bike with a chain guard, a skirt guard, and big baskets front and back, that kind of bicycle? I don't see anybody around here selling bikes like that. The market, there's no market for it, you think, that lifestyle?
Well, we do, but we just don't have the fenders and the chain guard and things like that, because it doesn't rain much. Most of the manufacturers will have a brand that doesn't really carry the fenders and stuff. I do put a lot of racks and baskets on the back of bikes, especially here at the college. Those sort of European-style bikes are, you know, they're more popular in places like LA and Portland. It's more of a culture thing. It's a pure commuter bike. You know, here just hasn't caught on yet. I'm hoping that it will be. I have access to all those bikes. It's just, you know, people just don't ask for that at the moment.
I keep thinking that could be like a market opportunity someday.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, they're great bikes for commuting on. You know, it doesn't matter what the weather is. You know, you can wear whatever you like, and you can carry whatever you need. And, you know, they are easy to ride, and they're comfortable. And there's not really any significant hills around here, so you know, they don't need to have a lot of gears.
There are some great routes, though. If you get a road bike and you want to go for a great ride, what are some of your favorite rides, John, around town?
Well, you know, just a short loop. We go up the Back Bay Trail, and then we head up to Jamboree and then through Santiago Canyon, and then we come back through Sand Canyon or Laguna Canyon. You know, it's a good loop. You know, we ride up to Long Beach a lot, up to the ferry or the aquarium. And
that's
then
a good ride. That's like a 50 miler, right?
Yeah, it's about a round trip 50 miles. It's all flat too. It gets windy, but you know, it's usually windy one way. And then we go south a lot too. South down through the marine base to Oceanside, sometimes further. You know, that's a good ride too. And you know, a lot of it's off the road, which is nice.
John, how about plugging the store?
Oh, yeah, the store. Well, we got a store at Newport on Riverside Avenue next to Sessibon, which is just off Pacific Coast Highway. We carry some great brands, and we carry all the nice stuff, and we carry the beginner bikes, and we do bike fittings, and we do all repairs at that store. And most of our repairs will turn around in a day or two unless we need to order a part. You know, you're going to get good service there. Here at the university store, carry a lot of cheaper, less expensive bikes, all still good quality, but designed for people that, you know, need something that's going to sit out in the rain. Or
college students' budget too.
Yep, college students' budget. And, you know, we do sales here occasionally. You know, we carry Schwinn and GT, you know, some really good brands, as well as Cannondale. So, you know, those brands are really popular amongst the inexpensive bikes. And, you know, same for, doesn't matter which store you go to, you can get any service done. Even though our university store is small, we'll work on any bike and we'll get it done the same day or next day. And we got parking, you can drive straight in.
John, I love the name. How did you come up with the name?
That was my wife. Yeah, so when we were starting the idea of a bike shop, we had to come up with a name, obviously. And, you know, it took us, you know, a couple of months. My wife's a designer, a graphic designer, and she does some advertising and stuff. And she's very creative. And she just thought of it one day amongst a lot of other names. And then her sister, brother-in-law, they're involved in the business, and we all liked it. And we went forward with it. We like it to be more of a, you know, a brand. You know, something that's not just associated with a bike shop, but, you know, we do some nice apparel, and we just want to be associated with, you know, cycling and being, you know, a brand that you see and, you know, you associate to cycling or even just any bike riding.
Mention the name, John.
Ah, Bike Religion, of course. Bike Religion, you can get any T-shirts or your cycling kits, and we're actually coming out with a range of T-shirts for men and ladies, and we do kids and infants T-shirts as well. But that's all on our website, which is bikereligion.com.
Thanks very much, John.
No worries. It's great talking to you.
Well, we're back in the studio, and once again, may I say thank you to my sponsor, that's biketiresdirect.com. Well, the summer feels like it's over, huh? The kids are back at school, and it's tempting to say that summer's over, huh? But some of my bike riding ambitions are just getting started. I leave Wednesday for Buffalo, New York, a garden spot I know you're thinking, but that's where I'll start a 400-mile bike ride along the Erie Canal. It's me and a pal, one of my oldest pals, a friend from high school, Kent Eisenberg, and I have talked him into this. We're both kind of at the same speed. We both started cycling again just a couple of years ago. We're both out for a kind of extended experience, you might say, on the trail. And the Erie Canal, one thing you can say about it is it's flat. Can you picture the towpath along the canal? There's not a lot of ups and downs there, as the horses would pull the boats through the canalways. And it's also very well organized and documented. They do an annual ride every July, attracting hundreds of cyclists. So they have a terrific guidebook, lots of maps. I know where all the hotels, museums. We're going to go to the Cooperstown Baseball Museum along the way. Well, I'm getting long-winded here. But anyway, that starts next Wednesday. I fly to Buffalo, and we head to take a little diversion right away to Niagara Falls. And I'll be posting pictures, photos, maybe some video, too, of this first tour of my first touring expedition. So come back more often starting next week, huh? Before I sign off, I want to invite you to come to the website, cdmcyclist.com. Leave a comment behind. John would love to hear from you. And while you're there, maybe you'll notice the PayPal donate page button. If you're so inclined, make a contribution to the show. It'd be greatly appreciated. Well, that's it for tonight's show. Thanks so much for listening, and good night.